I'd ask the congregation please to stand. Congregation may be seated. I take this opportunity just to kindly request that if you have a mobile phone with you that you would put it on silent. Unless maybe you're a care worker or a nurse or you're on call, we would understand that. But if it's not necessary, just so that the service is not interrupted, it is a religious service, a service of thanksgiving and a service of worship, and I'm sure you would appreciate that. But let me welcome you to Dromore Free Presbyterian Church for this funeral service and service of thanksgiving for the life of our sister, Mrs. May Hines. On behalf of the family circle, I'd like to thank you sincerely for your presence here today and for all the messages of sympathy, the various cards and phone calls and visits to the home. I believe that the family have been ministered to and greatly helped by your support. I know many of you have been praying for them and being with them today and the other evening. We've evidenced the grace of God as he's been ministering to them, and there's no doubt they have a settled calm and a peace on this occasion, and we trust you'll continue to pray for them. I know that your support here today and your messages of sympathy are deeply appreciated by the entire family circle. A special word of thanks they've asked me to give to so many people for the excellent care they gave May during her diagnosis. Firstly, Dr. Lennon, GP, who has been so attentive to May at home over the last year. Dr. Paul Rice and Jeff McCracken of Craigavon Area Hospital, who made the initial diagnosis. The Dr. Hart and Dr. Park team and all the oncology nurses at the Mandeville Unit, Craigavon Area Hospital. Thanks also to the Dromore District nurse team and Sharon Beatty, Macmillan nurse specialist. Further appreciation must go to the Southern Area Hospice team of doctors and nurses who gave not only medical treatment but also cared for May and the entire family emotionally and their spiritual needs on a daily basis. They also wish to thank family and friends who supported them throughout with prayer, encouragement and food parcels at the home. To one and all, a sincere word of thanks is expressed. I'd also like to read out some comments from the minister of the church here, the Reverend Ian Kenny, who's not able to attend. He's abroad and he's not able to return for this funeral service. And I was on call standing in for him, and I recognise that he would like to be here, but he has sent some comments. He said he would like to pass on his sincere sympathy to the Hines family at this time of loss, most especially to Ronnie, Lindsay, Neil and their respective family circles. I'm sorry I cannot be present with you today to take part in the service, but I would assure you of my love and prayers. It was my privilege to know Mrs. May Hines and to have the honour of visiting with her in her home and in hospital during the time of her illness. I would want to pay tribute to her today for facing that illness with great faith and fortitude. During my visits, Mrs. Hines displayed a steadfast trust in the Lord. Her Bible was always to hand, and some booklets I gave to her were well worn with her off-time reading. She loved to read God's word and have it be read to her, and she greatly appreciated the prayers of God's people. Mrs. Hines had a great love for her whole family, and it was her earnest desire that each one would come to know the Lord, Jesus Christ, as their own and personal Saviour. While we mourn her passing, it is our consolation and comfort today to know that Mrs. Hines is gone to be with the Lord and with her Saviour. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8 reminds us it's absent from the body, at home or present with the Lord. May the Lord give the Hines family his help, and I trust that each will know the sense of the Lord's presence in the funeral service today. Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. God bless Ian Kenny. And could I express on behalf of the session, the committee and the congregation of Dromore Free Presbyterian Church their deepest Christian sympathy, especially remembering Ronnie today and Neil and also Lindsay. We're praying too for Julie and Greg, for Sophie and Ella and Madison and the wider family circle. We assure you of our thoughts and prayers. And on a personal note, while I don't know the entire family circle, I have known Ronnie for quite a number of years, but I want to assure you that I've been praying for you, and I believe the Lord has been ministering to you, and I've seen the evidence of that. And I trust that through today, the Lord will uphold you by his omnipotent hand. We're going to join together in the singing of the first hymn in the order of service. Trust you have an order of service. If not, if you have a hymn book, it's the hymn 351. If I've gotten that hymn right, 351. We're standing together as we sing, "When peace like a river attendeth my way. It is well with my soul." congregation may be seated. Let's just take time just to still our hearts before the Lord. We'll seek the Lord's face in prayer. Father in heaven, we rejoice that we can enter into thy presence through the high and holy name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We thank thee that there is one God, one mediator between God and men. He's the man, Christ Jesus. We thank thee that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We enter into thy courts not in the name of any denomination. We do not come to thee because of anything we have done. We stand before thee by blood alone. We enter into thy courts and into thine immediate presence in faith, believing that thou art God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who formed all things within 6 literal creative days. We acknowledge, O God, that thou art the governor of the nations, the ruler of the universe. We bow before thee as mere creatures of the dust. We come to worship thee today in the trinity of thy sacred persons. To thee, God the Father, who planned salvation in eternity past. To thee, God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world, who purchased that salvation at the place called Calvary. And to thee, God the Holy Spirit, who presented that salvation to many in time. We worship thee, the God of our salvation. We enter into thy courts and stand before thee. In Christ we're complete. We stand in righteousness divine. We rejoice in our acceptance with thee. And we do not need some priest or minister to enter into thy courts. We thank thee that we have a great exalted high priest. And there is only one priest, and that is Christ. There's only one sacrifice, and that is Calvary. And we enter through the merit of the finished work of the cross. And we rejoice, our Father, as sinners saved by God's grace, washed in the blood of the Lamb, born of thy Spirit, we can enter into the courts of heaven. We come with boldness, yet we come with humility. We recognize that because we're saved and in union with Christ, we come as children to a Father. But we recognize, O God, that thou art Almighty God. We come as subjects to a King. We bow before thee in worship and acknowledge thy sovereignty in life, thy sovereignty in death. And we recognize it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. We bow before thee in worship. We come to give thanks today for the life of May Hines. We thank thee, O God, for that time in our own experience when May came as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ, when she was saved by sovereign grace. She's not trusting entering into heaven the other day in her baptism. She's not resting in confirmation. She's not looking to her church. We bless thee, our Father, that she's not trusting in her good works, but we praise thee that she is resting alone in Christ for salvation. And we bless thee, it is well. And we were singing her testimony, it is well with my soul. And while we recognize we have the mortal remains, her soul is with the Lord. As Paul said, writing to the church at Philippi, with Christ, which is far better. And Lord, we thank thee as Paul penned those words to the church at Corinth, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And loving Father, we rejoice today that May is very much alive. She is walking the golden streets of heaven, basking in God's own light. And today, Father, we think especially for those that are left behind. May does not need our pity. She does not need our prayers. But those who mourn, those who are nearest and dearest to her, do need the comfort of thy grace. We pray especially today that thou wouldst minister and keep thy hand upon the family. We pray for Ronnie. We commend him lovingly to his God. We pray, Lord, that he might know that word from thee. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And we pray, Lord, for Neil and for Julie. We pray for Lindsay and for Greg. We think of Sophie and Ella and Madison, and we commend them lovingly to the Lord. We pray for the wider family circle, the comfort of thy grace. And we pray that in this funeral service and service of thanksgiving, that Christ will be exalted, that none would be seen save the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And we ask, Lord, for all who take part. Remember Pastor Ken Davidson as he comes to pay a tribute. Remember our brother Alan as he comes to read the scripture. Remember the preaching of the gospel. Lord, in all things we humbly beseech thee that the Spirit of God will come and solemnize our hearts and grip the attention, and grant, O God, like Lydia, that hearts would be open to attend to the things spoken. Lord, we believe that providentially thou hast brought us together on this occasion for a purpose, that you might speak to us concerning the great eternity. We ask, O God, for some perhaps in this meeting house who as yet know not the Lord. We ask, O God, that this would be the day when the Spirit of God convicts them of their sin, brings them in repentance and faith to Christ, and they're saved at the cross. Lord, hear and answer prayer now, because we offer it with thanksgiving in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. We are delighted to have some folks to help us here in the service this morning. We have Pastor Ken Davidson from Donaghcloney Elam Pentecostal Church. He's the pastor of Lindsay, the daughter of May. And we're going to ask him to come now. He's going to pay tribute to May.
As the Reverend Martin has said, I'm here to pay a tribute to May, and even the very words of Lindsay ring in my ears, where May would have said, just talk about the Saviour, just talk about the Lord. And we thought it was fitting, but that people turning up would have a remembrance, especially the family, of May's life, and also how she was gloriously saved, and how her Saviour has drawn so close to her, and her to her Saviour, especially in the last months of her illness. And even as we were singing one of her favourite songs, "It Is Well With My Soul," that hymn would have struck a deep chord in her heart and in many hearts. And in Psalm 34 and verse 22, one little verse says, "The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." And we can say, as we bring this little tribute to May, as I know, I've known her, that her soul is not left desolate because she trusted in her Saviour. Edith May Hines was born on the 23rd of August 1949. Daughter to Agnes Alexander, she was brought up in Black Skull, not far from here, and raised by her mother and her grandmother. May described herself as having a loving childhood, and she said it was enhanced by her being an only child. Obviously, all the attention and the love was hers. May was the first to confess that she was spoiled very much in that love by her mother and grandmother. And not only was she a happy child, but she grew up to be a bubbly, outgoing teenager, and also a bubbly, outgoing lady, a woman too, in her grown-up years. I was told that May described herself, or was described by many, I should say, as the life and soul of every social event. And May came to be known as someone who liked to have fun and could have a smile for many. May met Ronnie, her husband, when she was just 16 years of age. So the big romance began and things started to develop and grow. And many a date would start off with Ronnie arriving at May's house in Black Skull. And how it was described to me was he arrived in a wreck of a car. In fact, the words were actually "in wrecks of cars." It must have been one after another. I don't know, Ronnie, whether you were wrecking them or you bought them wrecked, but they were wrecks of cars. Now, this must have been a test of love for May, because she still got into the car to go with the one who came to pick her up. She went with Ronnie. And while on one of these dates, I was told that one time in particular, May had spoken quite often that while on one time in particular, they were driving around the Hillsborough roundabout in one of Ronnie's wrecks. And suddenly May exclaimed, "Ronnie, someone's wheel has come off and it's rolling down the road in front of us." But shortly, just going a little bit further, as the car came to an abrupt stop and halt, they realised it was Ronnie's wreck that had lost a wheel as they were coming around that roundabout. May said, "I'll never get into a car again with you, Ronnie," but of course, love drove her to do that, and she did. On the 7th of September, 1972, May married Ronnie in Donaghcloney Presbyterian Church. And it was just a year later that their son, Neil, was born. And Neil, thinking of things growing up, and there's so many things the family could tell you. You could be here all day with fond memories. But Neil has informed me that May was very supportive of him in his sports. And all of his interests in sports were so complex, and the rules of them, the regulations of them, that May just couldn't grasp them and understand them. And her comforting words in any defeat of, "Wise up, Neil, it's only a game," sort of riled Neil a little. And he says it drove him into a grumpier than normal form, which gave May her mischievous enjoyment. Such was her character. Such was her form. May worked in Houston's clothes store in Bonbridge, and then in later years she moved to Lurgan. 7 years later, as if by accident, that's the words I'm told to say, on the second edition was born into the family, who was Lindsay. She came along. And Lindsay recalls the day she was told at the Sunday dinner table about not being totally planned. But May quickly followed it up by saying, "But God knew exactly what he was doing when he gave me a daughter." And God always knows exactly what he's doing in every circumstance, for he is sovereign over all things. In 1984, May and Ronnie built their home just outside Dromore, and had many happy times there, and there are many, many precious memories for the family now. However, life wasn't always easy for May, as postnatally she developed depression and went on to struggle with anxiety. And she struggled with this through the rest of her entire life. But despite of this, May had an inner strength raising two children whom she was proud of their achievements and was behind them, investing in them all the way. Just yesterday at the home, I had spoken to Lindsay, and she was telling me of the things her mother had done for her. For example, she was also saying about how her mother would have taken her out shopping and spent nothing on herself, but bought Lindsay the latest fashion or whatever was needed at the time. I remember her saying to me about her schooling, her university, and for Neil's also, and the things that she poured into them, and what she was doing. I say she was investing in you. She was investing in her children for things for the future. And look at Neil and look at Lindsay and their achievements in that. And she was so proud of that. And the investment seemed future, but nevertheless, it was well worth it. But May made a greater investment. She let in store treasure in heaven by putting her trust in the Savior, by relying on him for her salvation and in him alone, by resting in his work at Calvary, the finished work of the cross. May was very good at speaking her mind, even giving Lindsay's young suitors or boyfriends who would come at 15 years of age, May, with her let's say, sharp edge of her tongue, I'm told, was able to chase them back down the driveway as quick as they came up, maybe quicker. A protective heart of a mother, always wanting the best for her children. In more recent years, Mae was no longer known as Mom, but instead she was called Nana. She became a full-time Nana daycare for her three grandchildren, Sophie, who's 11, Ella, who's 8, and Madison, who's 3. Mae became their childminder, and she minded them most days from they were 6 months old. And she did a wonderful job. She did a wonderful job. December 2013, Mae was diagnosed with advanced cancer. And despite her previous anxiousness, her inner strength in this situation again showed through. Even Neil recalls, in the last couple of weeks even of her life, she still had that little cutting look, that little glance she could give you, that little word that she could say that would make you feel 5 years of age. She had an inner strength that was not her own. The inner strength was her Saviour, was her Lord. Mae dealt with her illness tremendously, getting her strength for each day from the Saviour, regularly reading the scriptures and quoting them to others as they not only came to the hospital, but to the hospice and to the home. Thankfully, Mae was saved. Saved. She was saved by sovereign grace. Mae was redeemed, bought with the precious blood of Christ. Mae often spoke of her going home to heaven and wanting to see, first of all, her Saviour. Throughout her illness, she would often sing the hymn that we have sang, "It is well with my soul." And during the latter months of her illness, God was a very central focus of the whole household and family on a daily basis. And even as the Reverend Martin has mentioned, the comfort and the grace of God among them, in their words, was and is amazing. Amazing, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. God had a plan in his sovereignty. God had and has a purpose in all things, even those that we do not comprehend and understand. Ronnie and his family are so thankful that through God's grace, Mae's faith in the Saviour, that she is now in heaven today, saved by that grace alone. Let me just add a little personal note before I hand it back to the Reverend Martin. Just after Mae's diagnosis of her illness, I was speaking to Lindsay, and I had said, "Well, I know she's a minister, but we can go up and pray and try and encourage her." And a colleague of mine and myself went up on a few occasions, but the first time we went up, I remember Mae sitting in her chair in the living room, and Ronnie was there. And I remember her being so polite. "Yes, Pastor Davidson." "No, Pastor Davidson." I says, "May, would you please call me Ken? Just Ken. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Call me Ken." "Okay, Pastor Davidson." I And I appreciate her respect. And we got a little closer together as I visited a couple of times in hospital, but especially when I came into the hospice in the earlier days of her being there. And one day in particular, I walked in and she had these little headphones on, sitting on this big comfy recliner chair that they had for her. And she had her eyes closed and she didn't know I'd came into the room. The door was open. I just stepped over the threshold and she was trying to sing. I say trying, there was nothing coming out, but she was mouthing the words. She turns around and there I am, and she takes out her earphones and she goes, "Oh, Ken, it's good to see you. I thought nothing of it." And then she went, "Pastor Davidson." That was her kind. And I says, "May you got it right the first time." We sat and we talked, and she may have been anxious at times, but when you started talking about the Saviour, you started to talk about her security in him, and you started to talk about me, how much he has loved you and gave himself for you, and you started talking about the closeness of the Spirit of God, and you started speaking about the Scriptures and just reading them to her and trying to expound a little to comfort her and to encourage her, she became changed by the Word of God, changed by the Spirit on the Word, changed by the Saviour. And she says to me one time, "I'm not afraid to die. I just love my family." I says, "May, I know you've been good trying to keep your family, but really all the time it's God who's keeping us all. He'll keep them. He'll keep them." She was a loving heart right to the end. And now she's with a loving heart who's loved her from before the foundation of the world. Ronnie, Neil and Julie, Sophie and Della, Lindsay and Greg and Madison. Myself and our congregation also at Donnacluna Elam are with you, for you, love you, and here is your servants, for Christ's sake. We pray for you continually that you would know God's richest blessing and his comfort, for Jesus' sake.
Thank Pastor Ken Davison for that special tribute. Very personal, and I believe it's very touching as well. We're going to ask a family member, Mr. Alan Thompson, if he'll come now. He's going to read to us from God's precious word.
First of all, before we read, I would like to offer my personal sympathy and my wife's and her whole family and all the cousins of May's to Ronnie and Lindsay and to Neil. We sympathise with you. We pray for you. And may God bless you. We knew May just as we may. In her family, we grew up together. May was a bundle of energy. When she came into her room, you knew that May was there. As I sat with her, and we talked, we look back, and we look back at good times that we had together. They were precious. She asked that this lovely chapter, Isaiah chapter 53, should be read today. The book of Isaiah is divided into two parts. And the second part begins at chapter 40. And there are lovely words. Comfort ye, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. You see, we come today to the God of all comfort. And this second section of Isaiah is the comfort section. And right in the middle of that section, we have this lovely chapter, chapter 53. And as I sat with May, she would have said to me, Alan, Jesus died for me. He was wounded for me. Oh, she appreciated the one who was wounded for her transgressions. She loved him. And today she's with him. I believe when May requested this portion to be read, it's a portion concerning the suffering Saviour. It was written around 800 years before ever the Saviour was born. And yet we're in no doubt, as we read this passage, that it's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I feel that when May requested that we would read this passage, I feel that her desire was that her Saviour would be your Saviour too. You know, May knew the Saviour down here. On Thursday, late Thursday afternoon, May passed from death unto life. Ah, not from life unto death. The word of God reminds us, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And as we mourn today, May is rejoicing in the presence of our Saviour. Shall we read together? Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. We know that God will bless the reading of his precious word.
We'd like to say a personal word of thanks to our brother Alan for reading God's word to us, a very choice portion, exalting the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a cut-off point in the service today, for we have to be finished by 11:30, and we gave an undertaking that we would do that, and we want to hold to our integrity and do exactly that, which leaves me in a slight predicament because I have a half-hour message sitting behind the pulpit here, and it's not Pastor Ken Davidson. It's sitting there. I've dispensed with that, and I've asked the Lord just to give me a text for this meeting, and just sitting there, the Lord gave me that text, and I'm hoping he'll give me the words to explain that verse. Some words found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, words that have come from the very mouth of the Saviour of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ, who said himself, I am the truth. And he said these words, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I never would change my message in the pulpit. Very rarely would I do that. It'd have to be an exception to the rule, and today I believe that God has changed the message. And he has given the text. If you get nothing else today, at least get the text of Scripture. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Do these words of our Lord Jesus Christ not teach us something of the reality of the soul? Perhaps you have considered your body. You may exercise, I don't. You may watch your diet, I don't. You may even go to the gym, I don't. You may even look after yourself in every way because you're looking after your body, and we commend you for that. But what I will say to you is this, you can look after your body. You can even have a little plot of ground bought. You may even have some life or death insurance to make sure that after you go and your body's laid into Mother Earth, that everything's looked after and you're looking after the temporal, the material. But did you ever consider that the Bible teaches that man is a living soul and that the body is only a tabernacle, a tent that is pitched upon this earth for a season, that houses the most precious thing that you possess, your soul. Your soul is as real as your body. In fact, it is the real you. After we lay the earthly remains of our sister May into Mother Earth according to the command of God Himself in Genesis, we recognize that it's only her earthly remains. Her soul has gone to be with Christ. That soul is as real as the body, and the Bible not only speaks about the reality of the soul, but it also reminds us of the immortality of the soul. Do you know your soul will never die? It lives the lifetime of God who gave it. It does not age like the body. It does not rot or corrupt or decay. That soul of yours will live the lifetime of God, either in God's heaven, saved by grace, or in God's hell, lost forevermore. You have a soul. That's the reality of it. You have a soul that will live the lifetime of God in heaven or hell. That's the immortality of the soul. But did you know the Bible teaches something else about the soul? The depravity of the soul, that soul of yours, so precious, so real, so valuable. That soul of yours that never dies and lives the lifetime of God is sinful. It's stained by Adam's sin, soiled by your own sin, and unfit for heaven. That's why the Bible teaches a man or a woman or a young person or a boy or girl reaching the age of understanding, they need their soul to be saved. We teach our children in our children's meeting, I've a soul to be saved. Let this truth be engraved on my heart and my mind while I'm young. For how awful the cost if my soul should be lost and in hell if I die as I am. Friend, you have a soul. That soul is sinful, unfit for heaven. It's shut out of heaven. Separated because of sin in Adam and your own sin from a holy God. And your sin is an offense to God and it has to be put right. And no amount of good works, church attendance, baptism or rites or rituals of the church. No person whose name is on the church roll is ever fit for heaven. The Bible teaches us that we are saved only in Christ. And friend, you have a soul. And I'll finish by saying two more things. One, there's danger. Your soul can be lost. Now, I didn't say that. The Lord Jesus Christ, who says, I am the truth, said that. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Did you notice the words? Did you hear those words? His own soul. It's the only thing you possess. You may say, well, I have houses, I have property, I have land, I have machinery, you know. I have money in the bank, but I'm telling you now, have a look at the hearse today. There's no tow bar on the hearse. You cannot bring it with you. The only thing you possess, man, woman, young person, boy or girl, is your immortal soul. It's the only thing you come into this world with. The only thing you'll go out of this world with is your soul. And that soul of yours is the most precious thing, but there's danger. Your soul can be lost. You can do many things for your soul, but you cannot save it by yourself. And your soul is in danger of being lost if you die without Christ. If you die without God's salvation. May Hines is with the Lord not because she had some great character or righteousness or a life of holiness. She's with the Lord because her soul was entrusted to Christ and she rested on the finished work of the cross. She looked to Christ at Calvary. There on the cross, he was her substitute, and he died for her, and he suffered for her. We read that in Isaiah 53. And now May is absent from the body, and she's present with the Lord, and her soul has been saved. There was a definitive moment. You need to understand that. A definitive moment in her experience when May Hines recognized, as we all need to do, that she was a sinner. She had broken God's law. She had to meet an offended God in her sin. And she recognized that there was no hope within herself and no hope within her church, Presbyterian Church or Free Presbyterian Church for that matter. And she looked beyond herself to the cross where Christ died for her sins. And she received him into her heart and into her life. And now it is well. It is well with her soul. I said there were two things I was going to say. That was the first one. The second is this. There's not only danger, your soul can be lost. But the good news, the gospel is this. There's deliverance. Your soul can be saved. And I'm glad today that a sinful soul can be a saved soul. That a ruined soul can be a redeemed soul. That a lost soul can be a liberated soul. And it's all, listen to it, because of Calvary. It's all because of what Christ did on the cross. He who is God blessed forevermore, the second person of the Godhead and the Trinity, became a man, virgin born, lived a sinlessly perfect life which we could not do. He fulfilled for us the righteousness of the law of God that was demanded from us. And in his death, he satisfied. It's a wonderful story, the gospel. He satisfied every legal demand of God's just law against us. In his life, he fulfilled the righteousness of the law for you, that you might be made righteous in him. And in his death, his blood shedding and sacrifice, that one great sacrifice for sins forever, put away sin, satisfied divine justice for sinners like you and me. And I'm glad today that you can be saved. You can know your sins forgiven. Have peace with God. And know that when it comes to death, it is well. It is well with your soul. The greatest preacher today is not Thomas Martin or Ken Davidson or Alan Thompson or even the testimony of May Hines. The silent preacher is death, reminding us all of the brevity of life, the certainty of death. And I wonder where you will spend eternity, saved or lost, heaven or hell, glory or despair. Get the text. There's danger. Your soul can be lost. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? But there's deliverance. Your soul can be saved. If you will but repent now of your sin and believe that Christ died on the cross to save you, and then receive him by faith into your heart and invite him now to come into your life, he will save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I trust the Lord will bless these few words to all of our hearts. Returning to the order of service, the final hymn. It's 612 for those who are in the little room to the side. 612 in your hymn book. There's coming a day when no heartache shall come. Could I just mention that there will be a short committal service. You're very welcome to join the family for that committal service. If you're not able to make that, then you will be served refreshments here in the church. We'll be going over to the committal service. The family will be coming straight back again. They'll not be meeting you at the door, but they'll come straight back again, and you'll be able to greet them and have a chat with them after that short committal service. But if you have to go on, well, you can stay for a few moments at least for some refreshments. The ladies have kindly provided refreshments for all who are present, and I know the family deeply appreciate that. A special word of thanks to the Reverend Ian Kenny and to Pastor Ken Davidson for ministering over some 15 months to May, and some for a little longer than that. The family want to pay tribute to their sacrificial and faithful ministry to me, and I know they deeply appreciate the service of God's two servants. We'll stand together after the key and we worship. Would you remain standing, please, as we have the benediction and the remains leave the church building. Attention to the back of the order of service. The family greatly appreciate your support and presence here today and cordially invite you for refreshments in the church hall following this service. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, may be sent to, and the address is there, of the funeral director. It's in connection with the Southern Area Hospice, and if you'd like to make a donation, I'm sure that would be very much appreciated. Just remain standing, please, for prayer, and then as the remains leave the church building. Our loving and our eternal Heavenly Father, we give thanks to Thee for this funeral service and service of thanksgiving for May Hines. We thank Thee for a sense of the divine presence. We rejoice, our Father, that our Lord Jesus Christ has been exalted in this house. We rejoice that He is the only Saviour. He is the Redeemer of God's elect, the Saviour of the world. And we rejoice that there came a time in May's life when she realised her need of the Saviour. And she came to the Lord Jesus Christ just as she was. And we thank Thee that this man receiveth sinners. We rejoice, our Father, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved and may call that day. And we bless Thee that Christ came into our heart and into her life. She was redeemed by precious blood, saved by grace, born of the Spirit. And we bless Thee, our Father, she experienced the new birth, and now she is with Christ. We bless Thee, our Father, for the glorious hope that those of us who are saved will see May some Lord time in the near future. We recognize that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Our own day of death will come. We thank Thee for those who are ready to meet the Lord, those in this meeting house who are prepared to meet God. We thank thee, O God, for those who have heard the gospel, and we pray for them especially. We know it was May's desire that Christ be exalted and individuals be warned to flee from the wrath to come. We pray that sinners might seek the Lord today while he is to be found. Call upon him while he is near. Remember the family as they travel to the cemetery. Go before them. Bring them back to the house safely. And through today, keep thy good hand upon them. And Father, as we leave this house, may we do so prayerfully and very carefully, pondering the things we have heard. And may we give heed to the warnings of Scripture. May we seek after God and get right with the Lord. We ask these things, giving thanks now, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.